Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on Member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Mayor, and all the chips in the BC. It is Saturday, the 29th day of October, Anno Domini 2022, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news, but first, this important announcement.
Yeah, it is. I just, thinking of the date.
Yeah.
It's my youngest daughter's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Amy.
Amy. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Can we sing that now? Is that in public domain yet?
Yes, they finally.
Happy birthday to you. Hey. Happy birthday to you. Hey. Happy birthday, dear Amy. Happy birthday to you. Hey.
Thank
All right,
you.
There we are. Amy, of course, is listening. Of course she is.
She does catch it from time to time.
Well, good. I hope she gets cured. Anyway.
No, there's no cure for me. There's no cure for her. Heck with that.
A lot of Apple news this week. It was quite a week. On Monday, Apple dropped a slew of new software updates on just about everyone with an Apple device. iOS 16.1, tvOS 16.1, watchOS 9.1, tvOS 16, didn't I already say that? And macOS 12.6.1 and 11.7.1 security updates for Monterey and Big Sur, respectively. The updates to iOS, watchOS, tvOS, and the HomePod software are all bug fix updates to the original X.0 version, which is why they now end in 1, released in September, though they all add at least one or two user noticeable features. iOS 16.1 is the first version to support shared cloud iCloud photo libraries. You couldn't share photo libraries before now?
Not automatically.
Ah.
You had to manually share each library. You couldn't do you could share each folder, but not your whole library.
Got it. The Apple TV updates includes a new Siri interface. The HomePod update adds support for the Matter Smart Home standard, and the Apple Watch update can save significant battery life on newer models by reducing the number of times your watch checks heart rate and GPS readings. But the iPad OS and people leave their watches on all the time and then complain that they don't have enough battery life.
Yeah.
Well, there's a fix for that.
Yeah.
But the iPad OS and Mac OS updates are the most significant since earlier versions weren't released alongside iOS 16 in September. Both bring the new Stage Manager multitasking interface and all the kerfuffle that goes along with it, plus a bundle of less noticeable features. The iPad OS update requires a fifth-generation iPod or newer, a fifth-generation iPad mini or newer, a third-generation iPod Air or newer, or any model of the iPad Pro. Ventura will run on any Mac introduced in 2017 or later. The tvOS update will run on any Apple TV model that runs tvOS, and the watchOS update requires a Series 4 model or newer. iOS 16 requires an iPhone 8 or 8 Plus or X or newer. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That is bites with a Y, Francis insists, we remind you. Apple releases OS updates for basically everything. And your choices are already updated, updating now, wish I could get it, Apple does updates, Apple what now, and other. So far, we've got 16 votes in the poll and 15 votes in the poll. And all of them are Apple what now? So if there's anybody out there who actually uses an Apple product and wants to vote in the poll, you can do that. And if you have more to say about this, again, head on over to our website, soundbites.org. Scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff. You'll see the forums. First forum down is the poll discussion. Under poll discussion, the second, the second forum down is poll discussion. The first item, currently at least, under poll discussion is 29 October 22. Apple releases OS updates for basically everything. And, of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
I do want to recommend to normal people, don't install macOS Ventura yet, 13.0. We always recommend you don't install the point zeros unless you're an early adopter and or a second machine. We're going to wait. I'm going to wait for at least 0.01, if not 0.02. In fact, we ran into that with iOS, iPad OS. 16.0 was never released to the public. It went straight to 16.01. But we got our iPad demos yesterday, and they had 16.0 on them.
Wow.
And so they apparently burned that on the demos before they updated. So we did the update. But not all of the demo apps take advantage of it yet. So we thought that was a little interesting. Right. But the new M2 iPad is just, oh my God, it's fast.
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it would be. All right. I seem to be having a little trouble. Getting a little angry about this.
Well, you can check our podcast.
I'm having a little trouble getting to certain spots on the Soundbites website. There was a small glitch yesterday at my hosting company, which they solved for a lot of things, but I didn't point out this glitch because I didn't get around to checking it. So I will talk to them after this show. But at any rate, you can. Happy birthday, Amy!
She said thank you very much.
Yeah, there seems to be a glitch. Okay, there's a glitch. I get it. Oh, two people have already updated the Apple release. That's great. Generally speaking, you know, we've said this a million times. We don't necessarily recommend that everybody be first to grab updates.
Well, that's how we used to always say, you could always tell the pioneers.
Yep.
And a lot of stuff, whether it was a current version of Windows or anything else, you could always tell the pioneers because they have the arrows in their back.
That's right. Theoretically, they've done a good job vetting all of that stuff. They're quality assurance people, the QA folks. We know that Microsoft fired all their QA people, so
they're over at Apple now.
No, they're all sitting at home listening to us right now. That's what their QA department is now. It's us.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know where Apple's is, but at any rate, there is a school of thought that says don't update yet. Yeah. Have I? No, I've never had a problem with a Linux update, although I'm sure some people have.
I have,
you know, particularly on marginal hardware, but on generally speaking, on hardware that's in the normal way of things, like, you know, you've got all standard components, or you're running a purpose-built machine like a Raspberry Pi, that sort of thing. You're going to find that those things all work.
But it's, for the most part, Linux, I mean, you've got far more experience than I, but it's just very seamless. I mean, there's updates. Yeah, you get the updates, and they just go in the background. And, I mean, they're usually minor stuff. They are usually always on top of anything that's, you know, out there or trying to attack the machines. And let's face it, most pirates don't go after Linux machines because the percentages are Windows. 90% of the computers out there are sold with Windows on it.
And those are the less sophisticated users. You know, most Linux users probably would recognize a scam when they saw one.
Right, exactly. Also, the fact is that when you're talking about something like Linux, each of those programs is updated by a separate team.
Yep.
And then vetted by all the rest of the people. Tens of thousands of eyeballs on those things before they're released to the public. At Microsoft and at Apple, certainly for the operating system, all of those things are one team.
Yep.
You know, in each place. And like we said, at Microsoft, we know that they fired the vast majority of their QA people. So, yeah, you got to be a little wary of those mm-hmm. updates.
Well, and the other thing too is the difference between an update and an upgrade.
Right.
An update fixes problems. An upgrade adds major new features and has major changes.
Yeah.
So right now what we're seeing, iOS 16, macOS Ventura, those are upgrades with a lot of new features, and it changes the way some things work. And that really annoys people that have been using it for a very long time.
Exactly right.
So we often will tell people, yes, go ahead and do the updates, but when it says an upgrade, when the first number changes, be very wary about that and wait a little while.
The number on the right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Because now it's 0.1 where it was 0.0, and that's why that's an upgrade.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you want to be wary. But yep. when it's, you know, an update, oh, we fixed this error or we found this vulnerability and it's repaired. Yep. Go ahead. That's easy.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Easy enough. Right. All right. To the phones. Our first caller is Mark from Greece, New York. What's up, Mark?
Hi. Well, you already know about the website, right?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Everything in the world is blocking it right now on my computer.
Yeah. Like I said, my internet service provider, not my internet service provider, my hosting company,
mm-hmm.
had a glitch yesterday, and I spent about 2 hours trying to figure out what I had done wrong on stuff I had not changed in years. When I suddenly thought maybe I should call them and ask.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, yeah, okay, we'll fix that right away because we've had this glitch. And
sometimes it's not just you.
Sometimes it's not. So apparently not everything is fixed yet.
Basically, it's saying that it's not secure when it is because I see the lock come up, but it's not accepting it.
Right.
We've been having a lot of customers complaining about that from a lot of different ISPs and a lot of different websites. And I've been seeing it mostly in Chrome,
right?
Where Edge will work, Safari will work. I think because Chrome has talked about doing this, they've talked about shaming websites that aren't encrypted,
right?
But a lot of times it doesn't need, you know, Soundbites doesn't need to be encrypted until you log in,
right?
And so we've started seeing messages that say you cannot get to this website because it's not secure,
right?
And the answer is yes, it is not secure. It doesn't need to be secure, so right. You have to click that advanced and proceed anyway.
Well, right. It's funny because when I do that, it still won't let me. I added it to my list.
Yeah.
Yeah, add it to your whitelist, yeah.
Continue at my own risk, everything, and it still won't load the page.
No, Google is being quite adamant about this nonsense.
Well, this is Edge also, and it does it in Firefox also, but I think it's because when I'm using the filter. If I probably turned off the filters in Firefox, I might go through.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't turn them off readily.
Good.
I kind of make a whitelist for them. But anyways, you know about it, so that's okay. The other thing I wanted to say is you were talking about the Apple Watches and how people complained about, you know, the battery life.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a generic one for Android that I absolutely love. And I never turn the thing off, and I charge it like every 2 months.
Yep.
It lasts forever.
What model is it?
I can't remember the name of it. It's a generic brand I got off of Amazon.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name at this point. It's some Chinese company, I'm sure.
Yeah, mine is called TicWatch.
Yeah, no, it's not mine.
And
now.
I charge it every maybe 5 days, unless I'm using it a whole lot, you know.
Yeah.
On a day when I'm driving around a lot and therefore I'm looking at my watch all the time to answer email and rather text messages and all of that stuff, then, yeah, it's a little – but, yeah, I rarely – and, of course, I don't have my screen on all the time. I have to – you know, and apparently Apple people can't do this. I have to twitch my wrist in order to see the time. It's clearly way too much for Apple people to have to do.
I don't have my novel time on all the time either. But it lasts me. I wear it probably 4 or 5 times a week, and it doesn't need to be charged that much. And right. I use it quite a bit.
A lot of times, it's how many things you're running in the background. So
yeah.
So the step tracker is running, the blood oxygen sensor is running, the heart rate sensor is running. So
those are all.
I generally charge mine at night when I'm sleeping because I use something else for sleep tracking. But now, you know, your watch can do sleep tracking too. So then you charge it for that 20 minutes you're in the shower.
Right.
Now, what I hate on mine is it's a magnetic charger. I hate it.
Yeah, mine is too.
I hate it.
You have to. Well, you have to make sure it's far enough away from you that if you know when you roll over and hit the table, it doesn't knock it off the charger.
Mine is probably so inexpensive that it's just the magnetic connector that connects to the back of the watch. And boy, do you have to set that sucker somewhere where it's not going to move, because if it does, it just even if it's just a millimeter.
Yeah, mine's a little cup that I can set the watch into, so it.
I'm going to rig something up for mine.
3D print it.
But I wish I had one. I don't have one. That would be awesome. But anyways, yeah, well, hopefully you get this done sooner than later by them, because this is a real pain in the butt. But
yeah, anyway, it is, yeah.
I tried to vote. I couldn't, so.
All right, thanks.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I don't, I like
voter
I said.
Suppression.
Voter suppression. You know, it's how it is.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks.
I was able to get in here and vote.
Oh, that's why I can't.
I thought you already did. I usually wait until
you finish the
story.
Well, no, because it's based on IP address.
Yeah.
And we have one IP address out the building. But you should, I can click here to vote in the poll at any time, and it does work from here at least. So, what's not working is looking at the forums. So,
let me try that then.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, URL not found.
Yeah. Which is ridiculous. But okay, you know, whatever. I'll get it fixed later this afternoon. I apologize to everyone. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Will from Hampton, Virginia. What's up?
Well, in my case, Mick, what I'm seeing is a redirect to an unfriendly website.
On my website?
Yep.
Oh, interesting.
I've bookmarked soundbites.org, and what's happening is it initially does get to the website, but then I get this really nasty redirect. And so my thought was that it was some sort of distributed denial of service. I don't know.
Yeah, like I said, I will check it out. Of course, right now I cannot, but I will do so. So I guess what we have to tell everybody is do not go to the Soundbites website today. I will fix it.
Stay tuned.
I will fix it later this afternoon.
All right, then, guys.
Thanks,
Enjoy
Will.
The rest of your day. All right,
bye-bye. Yeah, I got to be honest. I absolutely detest WordPress. I do. It's unsecure. Open this page in calendar.
So it sent me to a fake website. It's trying to open a calendar entry that's got malicious code in it fake code in it.
Yeah, do not go to the Soundbites website today. Do not.
I turned off Wi-Fi, so now I'm on T-Mobile. So different IP address, different location. Right. So yeah, it's going to greenskymotions.net and it's bouncing multiple redirects back around.
Yeah, no, do not go today. I will fix that when I get home. And it comes through.
CDNbestplatform.com is.
Yeah, they're in there. Yeah.
Do you have?
It comes through WordPress, and I've.
Yeah. Do you have ads turned on the Soundbites page?
I didn't think I did,
no,
but maybe I do.
I don't see any.
Maybe I do. I will check all of that when I get home, and I apologize to each and every one of you. We will get this fixed.
Can you take it offline real quick?
No, not from here. I have locked down where you can log in to the back end from.
Okay.
And that's... Oh, maybe I can from here because I've got a second way to do that. Ha ha. At any rate, I'll look at that at the break. Let's talk to Art from Rochester, New York. What's up, Art?
Hi, Nick. Sorry to be the dead horse. However, it looks like you're getting redirected from your jQuery-migrate.min.js file. That's sending you to new.weatherpll.
I'm sorry, Art. You got to slow down. I can't write this stuff down that fast. Start again. jQuery what?
jQuery-migrate.min.js.
Okay.
Now, that's sending you to a different website, new.weather@form.com.
Form or forum?
Form.
Form.com, okay.
And pick.js. Now, pick.js is sending you to away.cdn best platform.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to.
Yeah, same here.
All right, thank you. We'll, like I said, we'll figure that out.
Okay, good luck. Thanks.
Thank you, yeah. Yeah, don't go to our website today. I'll get that fixed this afternoon. Oh, interesting.
Hmm.
Okay. I do this whole testing thing on my website all the time, and I don't know that I'm testing .js files. How interesting.
JavaScript files are a very common programming language on the web, and so it's a target of attack.
Yep.
Right. Right. I'm actually going to add that to my to-do list.
Yeah, you're getting like me. You got to write it down or otherwise it escapes you. And that's what ticks me off. I'll sit there and say, damn it, I was just thinking of something and it didn't write it down fast enough. And I can't remember it for a while. And maybe a few hours later, oh, yes, that's it.
That's it.
I do that sometimes when I'm reading Facebook and I want to show something to my wife. And she scrolls away from it accidentally. And I can never get back to it again.
Because, yeah.
Well, that's Facebook.
That's Facebook,
I mean, I'm tired of the lousy, interface on Facebook.
Yeah, it's continuous. Whoever thought of continuous scrolling?
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to see this story and then the next story, then the next story. I don't want to keep scrolling forever.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, like I said, we have some issues today with our website.
Yeah.
It happens.
You got a JavaScript malware injection.
Yeah. So I'll get that fixed. And you know, I don't have any idea what I could replace WordPress with that would be less unsecured.
WordPress itself is generally okay.
Yeah.
It's the plugins.
Well, I've tried to limit my plugins, but if we want to do certain things, you got to have certain plugins.
Yeah, you got to have some. You're danged if you do and danged if you don't. Right.
Yeah, so that's coming up, the jQuery migrate.
Yeah.
So what are we migrating from to? Then I'll send you this page. I went to a WordPress site checker.
Oh, good. Thanks. Yeah, send me that. Well, I'll fix it when I get home. You know, usually, like I said, I check regularly, but I'm not checking JS files, and that just slipped by me. It just slipped by me.
Well, duh. I mean, there's constantly. Well, things are always under attack. No matter, you know, if it's not this, it's going to be something else. They're always hunting to find something else that they can get, squirrel into websites,
right,
and attack them, take them down, or reroute them. It's just like my old Facebook. You know, they hacked into it, and they actually did me a favor because, you know what? I don't miss a lot of
stuff. Exactly.
I hate to say it, but I'm there, but not like I used to be, and that's okay. I don't see a lot of the BS.
Right, exactly. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break while I get angry at some rando on the internet. And we'll be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 29 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. And when we come back, we'll tell you how we did in the pledge drive right here on member supported Jazz 90.1. Don't go too far because we'll be right back.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. And
still,
we are not online. Do not go to soundbites.org today. We will fix all of that when I get home. Steve, God bless him, can still log into the website. So he's installed WordFence.
I'm installing it now. What address do you want to get your security alerts at? The Gmail address or the soundbites address?
Yeah, gmail.com is fine, yeah.
I bet it's going to do a email loop.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
No premium key. We're going to start with the free version and see how that works.
Exactly. How much does it cost? I'll look it up.
That's the whole thing, though. It's even for us folks, you're seeing this, you know, again, live, and that's why we should take a quick word to mention we did meet our goal, and we would love to thank all of our listeners that became members or renewed their memberships or whatever to support this program, which means for another at least 6 months, we're going to still be here answering your computer questions through the holidays and on into the beginning of the year and, you know, keep you apprised of that. So we can't say enough. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much for your continued support.
Yeah, it's great.
And keeping this show going. It kind of renews for the three of us. And I know I can speak for all three of us in that, you know, that's what spurs us to keep coming, is you want us to come here every week like we do, answer your computer questions, and you show up by, you know, calling up and supporting this show. It's just a thank you all the way around.
Yep. And if for those of you who were following along on Friday, it was quite a nail biter. But we did squeak over the finish line, and that's great. So thanks to all of you. Both sound bites and not for all of your generous support. So we're here for another 6 months. That's great. Thank you.
Because we enjoy doing this. You know, yeah. I mean, it's a lot of fun for us. We have a lot of fun hopefully with you folks. You're learning something, and you're also being entertained. Because I know a number of folks that wrap their Saturdays around. You know, they're running around and everything else to listening to sound bites.
Right. All right, here's our next news item. Google is about to give Workspace Individual subscribers. Workspace Individual is a tier on Google Workspace. A whole lot more storage. Soon, every account will be upgraded from 15 gigabytes to 1 terabyte of storage. Meaning people on that tier will be able to store a lot more than before. Google launched Workspace Individual in July of 2021 as a way for one-person businesses to use some of the company's more premium workspace perks without having to pay for higher-priced options designed for larger enterprises. While this increased storage will make it easier to store more documents and assets, it also means individuals might have a lot more stuff to move if they ever want to take things from Google to another platform. That could make it harder to switch, which is probably what Google wants, as it continues to build out its plan to crush Microsoft 365. The company is also expanding the availability of the individual tiers, which will be launching in a whole bunch of other companies. Google first launched Workspace Individual in the U.S., Canada, Mexico, Brazil, Japan, and Australia, and brought it to 6 countries in Europe earlier this year. Now it's going to a bunch more countries. In the Far East and more in Europe. If you're subscribed to Google's Workplace Individual and you're not seeing it yet, be patient. They're rolling it out in phases. Oh, and here's how to tell if you're using Google's Workspace Individual. Are you paying $10 a month?
No.
If you're not, you're not using it. So how's your online storage? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
What about all of us that have a Workspace commercial plan and are paying extra to get 100 gigabytes?
I don't know. They haven't talked about that yet. I don't know. We're paying... I don't know that...
At our company, we're still in the $3 a month grace period from when the free version turned into the pay version.
Right.
But full price is $7 per month per user.
Right. Right. And you would think that would certainly give you at least as much as the $10 a month for one person. But who knows? Anyway, that's today's announcement. Who knows what they'll announce next month?
Now, you said, though, there's other plans coming out for maybe just the average folks?
No. With other people who pay.
Oh.
So, there's a business version where you pay per user.
Right.
And that used to be free for 100 email addresses. That's right. What we had.
Right.
And then it was free for 10 email addresses. And now it's not free, period.
Not free. It's $5.
$7 per user per, right. Yeah, per user per month. So right. If you still want a gmail.com address, that's free. But if you want right. your domain email address, you pay for that.
Right. And when Google announced that change, I took all but one of my email addresses off of Gmail and off of Google and put it on to other things. So that worked out all right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Josh from Fairport, New York. Hi, Josh. What's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going? I have a question. I got a PC, and my wife is trying to put the photographs from her iPhone on the PC, and it's not working correctly.
Have you installed iTunes for Windows?
We did not install iTunes, no.
Yeah, that's the iPhone manager. Let's see, iPhone, Windows. You can also install iCloud for Windows to be able to sync contacts and calendars and stuff between your PC and your Windows.
Okay. All right.
But that doesn't do photos.
What's that?
I'm checking.
iCloud. Oh, he's checking.
Well, iCloud Photos, if you sync your photos with iCloud on the phone already, installing iCloud for Windows will then sync them from the cloud into your computer.
We don't really do that.
Yeah, it should. You should be able to go to the Photos app in Windows and select Import from USB device. On your phone will be a message that will pop up and say, are you sure you want to trust this computer? And you have to hit Trust. Because there's a big problem in public power charging stations. So you go to the mall or whatever, and there's a USB port to charge your phone. Bad guys are putting computers there, so you think you're plugging into a charger, and you're actually plugging into a computer, and it copies all your data. So Apple added a security feature that if you plug into an actual computer, it warns you, and you have to say, trust this computer, in order to copy files between them. So on your own computer, you want to trust it. If you ever see that message when you're in public, disconnect completely and maybe find a security person to tell them there's a malicious USB port there.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. All right. Well, I will give all those things a try. Thank you so much.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. For those of you just tuning in, we know there's a problem with the Soundbites website. I will fix it when I get home. And we'll see what can be done there. But there is a problem with the website. You don't need to tell us about it again. We know it's an issue, and I will fix it. But I can't fix it from here. So we'll see. we'll get that done. And you can give us a call 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415.
I just tried to post a link and I got the error.
Brian from Pavilion.
Oh, Pavilion. There's no R in Pavilion.
That's not an R, it's a V.
P-R-O-V.
No. P-R-O-V is not Pavilion.
Providence.
It's Providence.
I don't know what I was thinking.
All right, Brian from Pavilion. Hi, Brian, what's
Hi,
up?
Hi, Nick.
Gentlemen.
Who came in?
I know. Quit picking on Dave. I've got Lusdixia too. It's not a good thing.
Right.
I do.
I know. It's terrible. I've fought with it all my life.
I hear you on that one. Yeah, I always did. I'm constantly transposing stuff and messing stuff up.
Well, you're actually in a great company because I understand that Albert Einstein was dyslexic and so was Nikola Tesla.
Yep.
That's why he didn't write things down, because he couldn't.
Right.
But anyway. I called last week, and I'm glad you guys are still there. I mean, I made it through the drive.
Thank you.
Anyway, I called to, we were speaking last week about the Pixel 7.
Right.
And David asked me, and I wasn't quite focusing on that conversation at the time, but, Dave was asking about how I liked it, and let's bat it around, and I'll rate the phone for you in one man's opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, you have the 3A, Dave, like we spoke last week. Really, right now is the time to upgrade your phone. I'm sure that your USB-C is probably pretty much worn out, and your probably battery life is diminishing.
That's the biggest thing right now on my 3A is, I can start out in the morning at 100%. Within 20 minutes, it's already down to 89 to 92%.
Yeah, that's for sure. But see, Verizon right now, I'm sure they're competing head-to-head with Apple, trying to get their numbers up, and especially after the Pixel 6 debacle. The only reason I have a 7 is because it's certainly not free. There's no free puppies, but Verizon, I went to go get a new phone, and they said, well, geez, we're going to give you $700 towards a new 7, so they just handed me a brand new phone.
Right.
And so the form factor on it, the fingerprint recognition is non-existent. So if that's something that you really like, you might want to look into something different. The form factor is good. At first I was a little bit skeptical about the camera being pushed out towards the back. And they got rid of the fingerprint sensor on the back of it. But then I got thinking about the architecture. That makes room for more battery, which is something that was sorely needed.
Yeah.
So, in your pocket, it's a much heavier phone. It works well, but it's not a huge jump. If you don't need to upgrade, I wouldn't. But, right now, they're just handing them out. You can go to Google Play Store and just do a swap with them, too. I don't know why they're essentially giving these phones away if you're upgrading from Pixel to Pixel.
Right.
I don't know why they're doing that other than the fact they're probably trying to get their numbers up against Apple's. What, the 14's out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think that might be what they're trying to do. Just So anyway, I wanted to tell you though, it's a good thing to do, and I wouldn't have a phone.
Now,
like
which 7 did you get?
It's just the regular
standard. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
Like I said, I'm an amateur user. I'm not a pro.
Right, right, right.
Me neither. For the most part, I love the feature of my 3 because I use it a lot for tethering. I'll tether my laptop to it. Or one of my other Raspberry Pis.
Yeah, there's some baby steps as far as like the Bluetooth works a lot better. The actual software seems to do a lot better. It definitely does Bluetooth better. It does hotspot better. The 5G. I'm in my experience, I'm not seeing anything. There's no significant difference between the LTE or the 3G.
Yeah,
because there's very few 5G towers, and the millimeter wave is where 5G is really fast, and you have you have to be within like 200 feet of a millimeter wave antenna to get that super super fast speed. So right now, 5G is basically nothing until they get more antennas rolled out.
Yeah, that's also highly localized, correct?
It's all line of sight, and that's where again people are running into a lot of issues because they don't want those those towers in their backyards because it's just such a short distance. I mean, you put a building up, and all of a sudden now there goes the signal.
Right.
I don't do any. Major data with my phone. I just listen to the radio and listen to you guys, things like that. But I don't watch movies or I don't stream movies or anything like that. So 5G is still on a tower then? I thought that was, I thought they were putting those on phone poles. I thought that was,
they're doing that now, but it isn't done yet. They originally started putting them on the regular cell towers.
Yeah.
But there just weren't enough of those cell towers. So they have to put them on poles. But that's a slow process. They're not just going to throw out 7,000 or 8,000, an army of people
Especially if they have to put a box every 200 or 300 feet.
Right.
Well, they.
It's like every other tower. Every other telephone.
It's not just putting
pole.
Up a thing. You've got to wire it in and all that other stuff.
Well, they just did it over there at the church across the street from me.
Right.
Because the church has this nice high tower. They were changing out the microwaves there and changing them to the 5G, the guy was telling me.
Yeah, I worked, long story short, I worked at the old General Railway Signal Building.
What a great place that was.
Oh, you have no idea. I actually worked in the old paint shop. I'm not going to bore you with my story, but they surrounded that tower. You still see the water tower. It's all
just
clobbered with cell phone stuff. The infrastructure, I used to walk right by the you know, right at the base of the tower and sure. then by where the power supply is and stuff. And you talk about the expense. I mean, you think your cell phone bill is expensive, and I'm sure they make plenty of money, but you look at, I'm an engineer.
Right.
If you look at what the effort and what goes into one of these systems, just the one.
Yep.
It's jaw dropping. Are you kidding me? What it takes to make these things work? So, and you know, so it's great. Yep. But anyway, I'm glad you guys made it through.
And, thank you.
You know, I'm glad you're still there.
Thank you very much for your support.
Thanks
we
again.
Appreciate it.
Oh, I always try.
Thanks, Brian.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Have fun. Yeah, we don't appreciate how much money infrastructure really costs because we don't see it. We see a little antenna on a tower and think,
yeah.
But what you don't know is at the base of that tower, somewhere on that tower, maybe tens of thousands of dollars of electronics. And that's all got to be wired into the grids, both the electric grid and the telephone grid. And it just, it's a lot. And most of that stuff is hidden from us, but it's certainly all there. Okay, back
there's,
to the...
I would say there's a cell tower on 490 out Bushnell's Basin area, I think it is. And they've tried to disguise it to look like a tree.
Yes, I've seen those.
But it's too regular.
Yeah, it's not successful.
It's not very successful.
No. So it's just a fake Christmas tree.
Right. It looks the old silver Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. It looks uglier than a real tower would.
Yep.
So they need to get a biologist in there and make some Fibonacci branches.
There you go. Now we're talking. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Kevin from Rochester, New York. What's up, Kevin?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Just a heads up before my question. I'm not sure if you mentioned this. I just got a notice on my Signal app. Apparently, they're getting rid of their SMS and MMS service soon. It'll be encrypted messaging only on Signal. So,
oh, nice.
I thought it always was encrypted on Signal.
You had a choice.
Well, you could also use Signal as your default SMS.
Oh, and SMS is not encrypted, period,
right.
and cannot be encrypted.
So they're getting rid of that.
I've been using it as an all-in-one messenger, so I don't have to flip back and forth between apps. But just so if anyone, they're going to be deleting all your SMS messages. It said months out, so you have time to back it up.
Right. And so if you're the sort of person who wants to keep those Signal messages, you better start downloading them now.
Exactly.
And that depends on, you know, what phone you have and how you deal with it and blah, blah, blah. Start looking into it now.
Right. And I think it might be just on Android also.
Yeah, it looks like it's only on Android. It's not on iPhone or desktop.
Which I don't know why they wouldn't do the same thing on iPhone. I don't know other SMS. It's the same thing, right?
Well, as we all know, Apple thinks SMS is a dirty word.
No, it's a green word.
Good.
It's a green word.
Instead of a blue word.
But my question, I've got two quick questions. Number one, I bought a backup phone for my, I've got a Pixel 4a, which they don't sell anymore, and I wanted another one because it's the perfect size, and it was one of the last ones with a headphone jack. So I bought a backup, which is refurbished, which I'm not using. I tried it. It worked fine. It's in my drawer that I'm just keeping for a backup when my initial one dies. But I don't know how much battery I should keep that one charged if it's just going to be sitting in my drawer for months and months and months. I mean, it's not... I discharge it to 50% because I hear people say don't keep it fully charged, so I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
What they say is you should keep your phone charged between 40 and 80%.
Okay.
So what I would suggest is you charge it to 80% and then turn it off and throw it in the drawer.
Okay.
Every couple of months maybe take it out, power it up, see where you are.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah, it's been sitting in the drawer since I got it, and I charged it to 50, and it's been sitting there probably for 6 months. So I've turned it on.
But they say 40 to 80%. There is an app for Android, and I don't know if it exists for iPhone, called Battery Charger, I believe. Hold on, I'm looking that up. Yes, Battery Charge Notifier. And it defaults 40 to 80, but you can set it to any level. And it beeps when you hit the lower level. You charge it, and it beeps when it hits the higher level. You unplug it.
Okay. Well, that's a good idea. Maybe I'll try one of those on there. Problem is, I'm not planning on like turning it on often. You know what I mean? I forget it's even there, and you know.
You should store.
If only you had something in your pocket that had a calendar app that could remind you every couple of months to take a look.
You might be onto something.
Oh.
There are also trickle chargers that will maintain a storage voltage without damaging the cell. So if if the cells get too low, they can be damaged. I'm finding here, and it matches what I've been hearing in the airplane world. You should store your LiPo batteries at 3.8 volts per cell.
Right.
Nobody knows how many cells are in their computer battery or phone battery, so that doesn't really help a whole lot.
Right.
Yeah.
But on our airplane batteries, we know how many cells there are because we can count them.
Right, right.
My other question was, I've caught myself on the internet occasionally. I'll go to a website and I'll be thinking about something else, and I'll put in my username, which is usually my Gmail account for most of my websites I log into. I'll find myself occasionally putting in a password for a different site onto one site. You know what I mean? So
right.
So I'm wondering, once I do that, does that, and obviously it says that's the wrong password, does that get stored on there? I mean, so do they now know that that's a valid password of mine for a different site?
Depends on the site. Some do, yes.
Okay.
Most legitimate sites do not, but.
And doesn't it usually ask you if you want to save that password?
Yeah, so the website would say invalid login. And your password manager would say, do you want to save this login?
Yeah.
Right.
Which is a whole other issue, yes. But now, once, like if I go to an Apple site and I plug in my Google password, I'm like, oh, does Apple now know what my Google password is? Because I typed it in and hit enter.
Well, they know it. Whether or not they save it is something we don't know.
Right.
But my suggestion is pay more attention.
Sure. Well, yeah.
Well, and if you always use a password manager, that won't happen. So if you manually type passwords, you can accidentally do the wrong password.
Right.
Yeah. I just got Bitwarden, and I'm starting to set that up. So hopefully, but sometimes I'm at work, you know, and
right.
So I look at my phone and I'm logging in. So then, because I had that the other day and I panicked. I'm like, oh my God, now they know what my work password is, you know, or my Google password is.
Right.
So, all right. One other quick question. I've got a cable. I've got Spectrum Internet, and I didn't want to pay for their modem, so I bought a router that has a cable modem built into it.
Spectrum doesn't charge for the modem half, they only charge for the Wi-Fi half.
Okay. I was just wondering about the firmware of my modem or my router never gets updated because they say, well, it comes from Spectrum.
They will update it at their end.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think
you
hope. Did it, but
all right, Kevin, we got to take a break. I'm sorry.
All right. I'm all good. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Kevin. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. This is a slightly longer break. The first hour of this show is history. But there's a whole nother hour coming with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. We know the website has a problem. We will be fixing it later today. We'll see you on the other side. Take that bio break and then come on back.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901. Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. Do not go to the website and do not bother to call us about it. We know there's a problem with it. Thank you, but I'll fix it after the show. I have neither the time nor the mental bandwidth to do so right now.
We're
trying to do a radio show, shockingly. But I will fix that when I get home. All right. In the meantime, I will read the news. Earlier this week, Apple released a document clarifying its terminology and policies around software upgrades and updates. We alluded to this in the first hour.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the information in the document isn't new, but the company did provide one clarification about its update policy that it hadn't made explicit before. Despite providing security updates for multiple versions of macOS and iOS at any given time, Apple said only devices running the most recent major operating system versions should expect to be fully protected. Throughout the document, Apple uses upgrade to refer to major OS releases that can add big new features and user interface changes, and update to refer to smaller but more frequently released patches that mostly fix bugs and address security problems. So updating from iOS, going from iOS 15 to 16, or Mac OS 12 to 13 is an upgrade. Going from iOS 16.0 to 16.1, or Mac OS 12.5 to 12.6.1 or 6.0 is an update. According to their document, because of that dependency on architecture and system changes to any current version of Mac OS, for example, Mac OS 13, not all known security issues are addressed in previous versions, for example, Mac OS 12. So if there's an upgrade from 12 to 13 and you do not do it, your security updates may not be comprehensive. In other words, Apple will provide security-related updates for older versions of its operating system, but only the most recent upgrades will receive updates for every security problem Apple knows about. Apple currently provides security updates to Mac OS 11 Big Sur and Mac OS 12 Monterey, along with the newly released Mac OS Ventura. And in the past, it has released security updates for older iOS versions for devices that can't install the latest upgrades. This confirms something that independent researchers have been aware of for a while, but that Apple hasn't publicly articulated before. Tracking the patches by different Mac OS and iOS updates for years show that bugs patched in the newest iOS versions can go months before being patched in older but still ostensibly supported versions, if they're patched at all. That said, this probably shouldn't dramatically change your calculus for when deciding to upgrade or stop using an older Mac. Most people running an up-to-date Big Sur or Monterey installation with an up-to-date Safari browser should be safe from most high-priority threats, especially if you also keep other apps on your Mac updated. And Apple's documentation doesn't change anything about how it updates older software. It merely confirms something that's already been observed. How secure are you feeling with your older Mac? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
Generally, Apple has supported the current version and two previous versions.
Right.
I hadn't heard that the previous versions don't necessarily get them all.
Apparently, that's true, though.
Yeah.
So if you're updating an older version of Mac's software, apparently that I'm assuming that really means everything, not just it's Mac OS, iOS, everything. Apparently,
tvOS, iPadOS, watchOS, HomeOS.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's all
It's all the same code.
It's all Darwin underneath, basically.
So if you are updating and going to point releases, you may not get all the security updates you think you're getting. If you are upgrading to a major release, 15 to 16, 12 to 13, whatever that is, then you will.
And the problem is, the other side of that is, if you upgrade and your computer is on the older side, the upgrade may make things slower.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We have had a lot of people bring in their 2015, 2016, 2017 computers that they just put Monterey on, the current version of the OS, and it's unusably slow.
Right.
And we end up most of the time replacing the spinning drive with a solid state drive.
Well, that's so if your that computer, helps.
Yeah. If your computer still has a spinning hard drive, we're basically saying don't upgrade past, say, Catalina.
Right.
But now, yeah.
Well, that's what we told folks back when Windows 10 came out.
Yep.
And, even though Windows 7 would sit there and say, oh, you can go to Windows 10.
It'll work.
Yeah.
You won't like it very much, but it'll work.
Yeah, same concept.
Yeah.
I've had a couple people recently bring me their machines and say, it's slow. What happened? Have I got a virus?
No,
you are running Windows 10 on an i3 processor.
It's a 10-year-old computer.
I'm sorry.
Yes, it's slow.
It's going to be slow.
It is.
Yeah. Magic, folks.
Since most people use the internet most of the time, web browsing, email, stuff like that, making sure your browser is up to date is a key. And on the Mac, the Safari browser is generally not updated separately. It's updated with the OS. So if you switch to Chrome or Firefox, they're updated a lot longer than Safari is, especially on even older OSs.
I have a friend with an old Mac, and she just got so frustrated. She said, what can you do? I said, I can put Linux on it. And
no,
I did, and it's really fast.
Yeah. Chrome OS Flex?
Yeah. Oh, I could have put Chrome OS Flex, but she had 8 gigs of RAM and a big hard drive and a, go for it. And it runs like a top. And it's an Intel Mac. I don't know if there's an M2 Linux yet, but, if you've got an old, Intel Mac that is just unusably slow with Mac OS on it, certainly Chrome OS Flex. I have put that on a number of machines, a number of old, Intel Macs. And Linux runs great. All right, to the phones. Our next caller is Jason, hopefully being very patient in Altoona, PA. How are things down in Altoona, Jason?
Sunny but cold.
Yeah, welcome to the club. What's up?
So we've talked about how you can get a drive-by virus or malware from a Google ad or whatnot, but it's always been a case of we've heard or it happened to a friend.
Right.
And I'd like to throw this warning out there for everybody because this literally happened to me on Monday. I had a friend who had made the mistake of purchasing a new GPU for a gaming system off of eBay. And of course, we all know what the problem with that is.
Yeah.
But he wanted me to do some diagnostics because it wasn't working. Well, one of the things I went to download was, because it was an MSI card, I went to get the MSI Afterburner software. And because I don't use MSI personally, I had to look it up. So I did a Google search for MSI Afterburner. And what I missed was it was a sponsored ad at the top of the list.
Yep.
And when I clicked on it, it took me to a website, and it looked exactly like the MSI page.
The bad guys are getting smarter and craftier.
Yes. For all I know, I didn't go to do any forensics on it to see if my theory is right, but I basically, from the look of it, it looks like they may have actually just proxied it and then edited the link code for the download. But when I downloaded it and ran the install for the Afterburner software, of all things, Microsoft Defender came up and said, whoa, this is a Trojan.
Nice.
And I'm like, what? That can't be, because at this point I still didn't realize what had happened. And so I uploaded the install to VirusTotal, and it confirmed that it was, in fact, a piece of Trojan software. And I'm like, okay, A, wow, Defender caught it.
Yeah.
B, what the heck happened? So then I started doing research and realized when I redid my Google search, I realized that the link that was purple was the one to this other website. And I'm like, okay, well, that's not right. So then I started looking for it was an MSI URL, found that, pulled that one up. And like I said, it was a literal copy of their main page for downloading the Afterburner software.
Yeah.
So just to put this out there so that everybody knows to be especially on the watch and very careful of it, because, you know, like I said before, it's always this happened to a friend of mine, or I heard from my cousin's roommate, college roommate, you know, those chains of, well, how much do I really believe this?
Yeah. Right.
This happened directly to me, even though I know to be on the lookout for this stuff.
We see a lot of customers bring their machine in and their downloads folder is full of fake Flash installers. Because Flash was so popular for so long and was so buggy that Adobe would release updates for it so often that the bad guys started making fake Flash updates because you were so used to installing a Flash update. FlashGo was discontinued 2 years ago, so now any message you see about a Flash update is lying and click away immediately or close the window without clicking anything. But, there's an infected ad that says you need to download this plugin, and it will download it automatically for you in the background.
Yep. Very nice of them.
Both Mac and Windows have stopped auto opening things you download, and they'll warn you. You downloaded this from the internet. Are you sure you want to open it?
Right. But, yeah, this is great. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah. So, everybody take care, and I love the service you do, and we'll see you around.
Thanks. Have fun.
Bye.
Have fun down there in Altoona, PA. You want to be, you know, if it can happen to a savvy guy like Jason, it can happen to anybody. So no shame when it happens to you, but be careful. Run an antivirus program. He seemed surprised that Microsoft Defender caught it. Microsoft Defender is actually pretty good software, shockingly.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the update as often as it should.
It does have the advantage of being from Microsoft, built into the kernel, and not needing to be hooked in like other AVs.
Right. Right. It is a decent program. Again, I wish they would update it a little more often than they do, but not bad. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from Greece, New York. What's up, Steve?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen, and I use the term loosely.
Very loosely.
I'm sorry. Couple things. One, you just guys talked about. I am working on a friend's computer. She lives in Chicago. She just got Windows 11, and she doesn't know how to change some things. So I was changing this and that. I'm working Windows 10. I don't know 11. What I thought would be the easiest thing to change is she wanted to move her taskbar from the bottom to the side. So I just dragged it over, but it didn't go.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way on that one.
I did go into, I understood that they work menus now, so I went into menus. I found it. I said, okay, move it to the left. It didn't move it to the left. So now I'm, because I'm a Windows 10 guy, thinking, okay, the taskbar is locked. I had a right click on the up caret. It does nothing.
What about, I haven't tried it on Windows 11, but I use Classic Shell.
Okay.
Work in Windows 11 now?
No.
Yeah. Theoretically, you should, in fact, be able to drag it.
I found a 250-page forum on Microsoft's community site complaining that it doesn't work. One guy points to another program called Explorer Patch that lets you put the Windows 10 toolbar back. And it's on GitHub, so it's not for the average user to install. Yeah, you're going to look at the source code. It's there, though.
Like I say, I like using the Classic Shell because you know, it sits there, and you can put it back to either Windows 7 or Windows 10 look.
Yeah, but if it doesn't work, that doesn't work yet.
I thought it did.
I'm checking now.
Yeah, there is an app called, that's in the Microsoft Store, Drag and Drop Toolbar for Windows 11.
Yeah.
Or it's in the Windows Store.
And Classic Shell does work on Windows 11, too.
Oh, it's called Drag and Drop Toolbar.
Although,
that's a third-party program.
That's a third-party program. Theoretically, under settings, under personalization,
yeah,
you should be able to move.
Right. And they only allowed to put it on the left side, but it didn't move. It just stayed right where it was at the bottom.
Did you try restarting after you set the setting?
Yep, I had to get back into...
Of course, you've changed something on screen, so you have to restart the program.
Yeah.
I'm doing this over TeamViewer, so restarts are a little bit more of a pain, but everything else she wanted me to do is able to do what I thought would be the simplest. I can't do.
Well, the fact that it's in the center of the screen is upsetting a lot of people instead of the left where it's it's always been across the entire bottom, but now it's centered. Yeah. Like the dock is on the Mac, so they copied the dock on the Mac.
Right.
But I make mine big enough so it fills the screen.
Yeah.
Okay, so here it is. Here's how you do this. You have to change a registry key.
Oh, geez.
That's why you go to the Windows Store and download that separate program.
Okay.
Theoretically, if it's in the Windows Store, it's been vetted. So,
right.
It's called the Drag and Drop Toolbar, and I would take a look at that.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a problem going to the registry on my computer. I'm not going to do it on somebody else's.
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, we don't even you don't hear us on this show ever tell folks step by step how to go into the registry, because all it takes is one, slip of a key.
Yep.
And you can muck up that whole machine. It's toast.
I just found an article on Windows Central. Saying Microsoft's Tally Roth said you cannot move the taskbar on Windows 11. And it's not a highly requested feature and would require a huge amount of work.
Oh, geez.
Every other app. Never mind. Okay. Yeah. Fine. Yeah. Fine. I always put my, of course, I'm using Linux. That you can do anything you want.
Yeah.
I always put mine over on the left-hand side because there's more screen real estate left to right than there is top to bottom. So it takes up essentially less space.
Yeah, I always move mine down to the bottom. I'm a creature habit with Windows, so I just have it down there. But, yeah, I still have the panes when you click on it over on the left-hand side that folds out.
Back when computers were square, it didn't matter. Now that most screens are widescreen, what I get a little annoyed about is if I have two screens, and sometimes my dock will jump to the other screen.
Oh, interesting.
Well, because I moved my cursor down to the very bottom of the window where the dock is, and so if I'm on the second screen, it thinks I want to get to the dock and moves it over there for me.
Well, that's nice.
If I put the dock on the left, then it's on the left of the leftmost screen instead of the center screen that I use primarily. So I'll have three screens, my center screen and two ancillary screens, and, left is way over to the left and right is way over to the right, so I usually keep it in the bottom center.
Yeah.
Can you lock it once you got it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you're going to have to do. There's, every operating system, and I will say, I'm sorry, but there were UIs on the Mac, on Linux, that did it in Unix, that did it long before Apple did it. So, there are UIs that do it. Apparently, Apple hasn't figured out how to, Google hasn't figured, no, who are they? Microsoft hasn't figured out how to steal that yet. So,
So there's a third-party program called.
They don't have enough writers to even.
That's right anymore. That's right.
There's a third-party program called Explorer Patcher that gives you back a lot of the things that were missing in Windows 11 that were missing from Windows 10, and that seems to be what all these blog entries are talking about.
Okay.
You don't have to change the register key; it does it for you, which is only slightly less insecure.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so first try the Windows Store, see if I can get this.
Take a look at that program. It may not do exactly what you want, so check it out carefully before you try something else.
Yeah. Now, quick question. That guy who called and wanted to know if he typed in the wrong password if the other place had it.
Right.
I don't do that, But what I do is I presume they're going to put my username in, so I put in the password.
Yeah.
And without looking, I will put, if they don't do it, I will put my password into the username box and then hit editor and it says wrong user or something.
Yeah.
Does that do any harm? Does that give anything away?
It certainly sends it to their website because that's how they know it's an incorrect username.
Yeah.
As to whether or not they save it, only they know that.
Same answer then.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And the guy that initially recommended obscuring the password while you're typing it 50 years ago when computers were new has officially apologized. he figured that the biggest threat would be someone looking over your shoulder and seeing you type your password.
Right.
So you should obscure the password. Turns out the biggest threat is you typing your password wrong.
Yeah. Yes.
So now many, many websites have a little eyeball icon so you can see what you're typing.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't like the eyeball icons that don't, you can't just turn it on. It only shows it while you're clicking the icon.
Yeah.
Right.
But, all right, I will give the store thing a try first, and if that doesn't work, I'll try the Explorer patcher.
Yeah, read the documentation on both that's, you know, on screen when you go to download it.
Right.
And pick the one that does more what you want to do.
What was that one in the Play Store or the at Microsoft Store?
Taskbar to dock. Anymore. Drag and a drop toolbar.
Right, that's right. The A is the same.
There it is.
Yep. And the other is Explorer Patcher.
Yep.
I can't see what I'm posting, but I'm posting them. So eventually they'll show up on the posts.
Yeah, we hope so.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
No, thank you, guys.
Have fun.
Yep. Bye bye.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get what Windows 11 is all about. Why take features away from people?
Yeah.
It just angers them.
Don't mind you adding things, but. Right. Why take away something I've been using for 40 years?
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't get it. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bob from Rochester, New York. What's up, Bob?
Good afternoon. I think you'll have to hold until after the break.
Okay. Anyway. We've got a couple of minutes, so you can at least get your question in.
All right. I've got a Linux server that I operate, and I decided to add a couple more hard drives in a RAID 1 array. So went through that process, apparently fine, set it up with NVADN, and then parted to set up the partitions on the disk. And I set it to use GPT, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When I went to reboot the system, I get an error that the primary hard drive partition table has been corrupted. The BIOS detects a corrupted GPT partition, and looking at it, and if I select manual override boot and boot off that drive anyway, it will boot, we're fine, but it shows as a DOS partition, not GPT. You ever heard of Parted changing the partition table on a drive that I did not specify?
No, I've never heard that. But if something happened to the, now this is what you said, you made it a RAID array?
Yeah, RAID 1.
RAID 1. Oh, Lord, I have to remember RAID 1 now, don't I?
Mirroring.
Yeah, it's just mirrored. So this is not happening. This is happening on the main drive or the mirrored drive?
Well, the machine is set up to boot off a 500 gigabyte Western Digital as a primary drive. There are two partitions on that, the EFI boot partition and then SDA2, which is the main system partition.
Right.
Holds all the directories. That was, when I set this machine up, I set that up as GPT. But after adding this RAID array, which is actually dev SDD and SDDE, and I did remember that, so I know I was working on the right drives.
Right.
But it changed the main hard drive, the first hard drive in the system, to a DOS partition label.
Yeah. All right, listen, hang on. We'll get back to you in just a couple of minutes. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Bob from Rochester, New York, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We know there's a problem with the website. I will fix it when I get home. See you in just a couple of minutes.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are soundbites. And we have... this is unbelievable. Hold on. There we are. We have Bob from Rochester on the line. Yep. All right, Bob, have you run G-Disk on this thing?
No, it's a server. It doesn't have a graphic environment.
Well, yeah,
but... I just fired it.
Right. Well, you should be able to... No, hold on.
G-parted is a...
Not G-parted, G-disk.
Okay. That's I have not run that.
Yeah, that's an interactive partition table manipulator. And so when you run that, it'll tell you where the problem is. So, for example, it'll say something like...
You have to make sure you get the right G-Disk because there's one that is used for Google Mail.
Right. But it should be built into Linux. And you should be able to...
What's in here? G-D-I-S-K.
Right. G-D-I-S-K.
Hold on. No, I typed it wrong.
No, don't type anything yet, please. Okay?
All right.
What you do is you say G-Disk space... /dev/ whatever drive it is. SDD1S, whatever it is, right?
Actually, SDA because it's the main drive.
Fine. Then what you will get is a number of things, one of which is what do you want to do? Ignore that for now, please. But what you should see first is a caution or error message that says something like invalid main GPT header. But valid backup. And if it says that, it should also then say regenerating main header from backup.
Please turn your radio down. We can hear it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're getting that weird echo in the background.
So what G-Disk will do is it will take a look at both your main and backup partitions, headers rather, excuse me. And if one of them is corrupted, it can replace it with the good one. But you want to be careful that A, you're on the right drive, and B, you know what you're doing. It sounds like you do, but be careful.
Would it hurt to disconnect the other two drives since he's only trying to...
It's a RAID array. You really got to be running everything.
There's nothing stored on that. I don't care about that yet.
Okay, so what you want to do is when you get that, it'll say what's your command.
Partition table, MBR only. BSD, APN, and GPT not present. Found invalid GPT and valid MBR. Converting MBR to GPT format in memory. Operation is possibly destructive. Exit by quit.
Yeah, so what it's trying to... It's a pretty deep dive at this point. Now, if you don't have anything on the drives yet, go ahead and do it. At worst, you'll have to reformat again.
Yeah, that's the worst case scenario. I'm going to have to reinstall the operating system.
Right. But theoretically, G-Disk will solve that problem.
Well, thank you. That might be quite useful.
Yeah. I, like I said, no tool is perfect. and A, make sure you're on the right drive, and B, read every single prompt three times. But theoretically, that will work. Okie doke.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like something the BIOS also offers a recovery option, but
I was about to say that's the other choice.
Yeah.
In fact, you know what? Maybe you want to try that one first, depending on who made your backup, your RAID system. That might be a better choice.
Well, the RAID array was created on this machine after I installed the hard drives.
Yeah, but I mean, that would, yeah, okay. So whichever one, pick one and go for it.
Yeah, well, I'll know about 2:15. The machine's recording something right now that I don't want to interrupt, but once that recording is done.
Right. Once it's done, make sure you make a backup of everything that's on it.
Oh, that's automatic.
You already know that. So do that, and then you can start mucking about with it.
Yeah, I run a cron job every couple of days that backs everything up to an external hard drive.
Excellent.
Operating system, storage file. Storage.
Good. Well, then you won't have backed up whatever thing you're recording right now. So get that backed up, and then you're on your way.
Yeah, I can run the backup as a script. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah. Oh, I wanted
I'm sorry. How would that have happened in the first place?
Hiccup.
Basically, yeah. You know, it happens.
Every disk you buy comes MBR and...
Yeah. You gotta, it reformats it, and there's a
power surge or anything.
Yeah. Somebody
turns on,
you know,
air conditioner or whatever. Something causes a power surge or in the neighborhood.
Yeah. So here, there is a company that's offering a free forever Linux machine. Or Windows machine, although that doesn't seem to work very well. Virtual machine online that's offering a free forever Linux or Windows virtual machine. It comes with if you use the ARM Amper A1 compute thing, it comes with four instances and 250 gig of disk storage and I think it's 24 gig of RAM. You can have up to four VMs or just one. It's a little company you may have heard of at some point in your life. I think they're going to be around for a little while. It's Oracle. So
VirtualBox is already free.
It's already free. But you can have one. And as long as you don't exceed 3,000 hours a month, there are only 2,700 hours in a month. So as long as you don't exceed 3,000 hours in a month or 18,000 gigabyte hours... per month, you can have this free, and
well, maybe it counts the cores. So if you have a 2-core processor, you get 2,700 times 2 hours a month,
or the other way around.
Other way around,
divided by two. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I haven't started mine yet, but you know, if for someone like me who would be using it as a test bed, because you can always dump a VM and restart it again if you do something horribly stupid, which when I'm programming, I sometimes
we're
do.
We're all guilty of that.
I would turn it off when I'm done. I would turn it on when I'm starting. So I'm not worried about any of that. And it's virtual, so it's online, yeah. So I can access it from anywhere on the planet. And it sounds like a fun thing to play around with. You know, lots of people have, we were just talking about this. You got an old Mac that no longer updates and is too horribly slow to deal with, you can throw Linux on it. Or you don't have one of those, throw Linux in the Oracle VM. And it's at oracle.com/cloud/free.
And Archandra in the chat has done the mathematics for us. 24 hours a day times 30 days in a month is 720 hours in a month.
No, 7,000 some odd hours.
So he's doing his math wrong, too. Missed a zero there.
Oops.
I'm pretty sure 24.
No, 24 times 30 is 720.
Oh, yeah.
See, differential equations are easy. It's arithmetic that's hard.
Might say that figures.
It's true.
If you're Have you seen?
I had a friend who, God bless him, God rest his soul. We would always hand him the bill to figure out how to split it because he was a math teacher.
Yeah.
He said, I teach math, not arithmetic, and he'd hand it back.
We
744 hours a month for 31 days.
Yeah, we have a person in our group that it was a budget analyst for a large organization, and so she knows how to manipulate numbers.
Right. Oh, so that's where I got my 29,000 number was but times four, because there's four processors. So I assumed you're paying for each one.
Yeah.
And at that, it's still only 2,976. So you're still 24 hours short. So you're a day short. So, that's okay. At any rate, that's, like I said, Steve, I'm sure we'll put up a link to it if he can.
Yeah.
At oracle.com/cloud/free. So
the links say they're posting, but I just can't see them. But when I go back into the admin interface, I can see that they're there. Which is always interesting.
Oh, no, I'm seeing them. I see the drag and drop toolbar.
Yeah.
I don't see the Oracle one yet, but I see the drag and drop toolbar. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Joe from Rochester, New York. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. I wanted to touch on something you were talking about earlier, and David mentioned it. He's got a Pixel 3 or 3A.
Yeah.
And mine was doing the same thing with the battery. It would run down within an hour from 100% to 80%. So what I did was I went into the settings and then apps, and I went to the battery portion of the apps. I turned everything on. I put everything to restricted versus optimal. And after a couple of days, it seems like my phone's been off the recharger now for 2 or 3 hours, and this like at 95%.
Nice.
So I don't know if that's coincidence or what.
Yeah, a lot of times phones will do things sort of without you realizing it that really drain the battery. If you're in a weak cell zone, it will crank up the antenna power trying to get a signal, which will drain your battery really fast. iPhones have a thing called low power mode. And I've started, I've started remembering to do that when I go to an air show or something and I know I'm going to be away from an outlet all day long. I'll put it in low power mode at the beginning of the day.
Right.
Instead of waiting till I get down to 10% and oh my God.
Yep.
And so it cuts down on how often it checks for mail, if at all. You know, most people, like to see, bing, I got a new message. But if you know you're going to be away from power for a long time or your battery doesn't last very long, leaving it in low power mode can let it last a lot longer than it normally would without replacing it.
Yep. And the other thing is if you have Wi-Fi in your house, connect it to your Wi-Fi, then it will prefer that over cellular. Right. And then if you are on a weak signal.
Yep.
It won't drain the battery.
That you could even turn cellular off. A lot of carriers also will do Wi-Fi calling. So if you have a weak cell signal in your house, it will make a phone call over your Wi-Fi. So instead of going from
Pixel will definitely
instead of going from cellular to the internet, it goes from internet to cellular.
Right. I often use my second number, my Google Voice number. To do that. So that gives me not cellular internet calling.
VoIP
calling. Thanks, Joe. That's a good tip. Thank you.
Yeah, it seems like by default it goes to optimal, and then the phone is actually monitoring all the apps and seeing what's being used and what isn't.
Right.
So I think if you just turn it auto restricted, then you're in control of it all.
Exactly.
So, seems to be working. I don't know if it's scientific or not.
Worth a shot.
Remember, the difference between fooling around and science is writing it down.
Yep.
Right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yes. I saw one the other day that cats knock things off shelves and tables because they're scientists studying gravity.
Nice.
They don't have opposable thumbs, so they can't write it on paper, but they remember.
That's good. That's important.
record the results of the experiment. Yep, that's still false.
Yep. So at this point, again, we have to come back to the fact that batteries aren't replaceable easily in a phone. They used to be a user replaceable item.
And you'd buy two or three of them.
And you'd buy two or three of them. I had one phone that I used constantly for monitoring a bunch of servers because I had three batteries. One was in the phone and two were in a double charger that I bought.
Yep.
And so, you know, every few hours, I'd pull one battery and replace it with another battery. Easy. Turn the phone off, replace the battery, turn the phone on, back to monitoring.
Good to go.
It was easy, it was fast, and it worked great. Now, of course, I don't know a phone that will let you the user easily replace the battery.
Well, that was the whole thing. They're making them obsoletable.
Right.
If that's correct.
Well, the idea is once the battery goes, it's cheaper to buy a new phone than it is to replace the battery, and that's what they want from you.
Planned obsolescence.
Exactly right. And now it's going to actually get worse because now they're talking about replacing lithium ion with a couple of other materials, some of which are 3D printable. And what that means is you could print the entire case out of battery.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
So you could 3D print a case, not to go around the phone, but to be the case of the phone.
Mm, okay.
And you know, it would be coated on the outside so you're not touching the electronics, blah, 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 blah. But the point is, you now have all of that, at this point, dead weight material to be battery.
Nanobolt lithium tungsten.
It's one of the choices. There's also a sodium one.
Zinc, magnesium, manganese oxide.
Yep.
Organosilicon.
Yes, organosilicon and a sodium gold, something.
Gold nanowire.
And the reason they like the sodium one is because it's just salt.
Yeah.
You can grab a bunch of rainwater, rather seawater, and dry it out, and there's your salt.
Yep. Well, I saw one, excuse me, where I forget which college was doing it, but they had like a minivan.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is they literally 3D printed and created solar panels on top of the van.
Yes.
So as the van's driving around and just sitting there, instead of having to hook up to a charging station, it's using the solar panels and the wheels as they're turning.
Right. Regenerative braking, yes.
To turn around and recharge the batteries.
Yeah, regenerative braking is in a lot of cars. Aptera, for example, uses solar panels on every upper surface, and a couple of other cars do it. They won't recharge the whole car, not even in Arizona, but they will give you, you know, an extra 10 miles, an extra 20 miles.
It's a few more bucks in your pocket paying for a charging station.
When the thing is sitting in your driveway all day or at the parking lot at work all day, now it's recharging all day without using any of that energy. So now you can get an extra 10, 15, 20% on the battery. And now they have solar panels. Solar panels are what, 10% efficient? They're really low, but they now have doubled that for some of them. So they're 20, 25%
efficient. And they're so small and flexible.
Right.
The current lithium ion nickel based batteries are about 250 watt hours per kilogram.
Right.
So the original nickel metal hydride we had were 60 watt hours per kilogram.
Right.
The lithium air, I've heard about that. That's in research now, about 500 watt hours per kilogram. The sodium solid state, 350 watt hours per kilogram.
Right.
Jet fuel, 12,000 watt hours per kilogram.
Right. However,
uranium,
I think,
19 million watt hours per kilogram.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure nobody's got a phone that runs on uranium at this point. But
19 million watt hours per kilogram. So you could have a 19 millionth of a kilogram and get 1 watt hour out of it.
That's exactly right.
So that's what we want is a tiny micro dot of uranium fuel to power our cell phone for the rest of
that'll fly. You go ahead and make that. And see how quickly that gets past the safety people. But the problem is there's a trade off between cost of the material and how powerful how big a charge it holds. Lithium ion is very powerful, but very costly,
and the heat factor.
and the heat factor and the fact that if you puncture it, it sets on fire and yada, yada, yada.
And you can recharge it in a reasonable amount of time.
You can recharge it in a reasonable amount of time. Solid-state sodium stuff, less powerful, less storage capacity, like 350 versus 500 or whatever the number is, but a whole lot cheaper. And the material it's made out of is so abundant, it's almost free. Not that we'll get it for free, but you know it doesn't cost much to produce. Yeah. So
if you're looking at trying to figure out a field to study, get into chemistry, especially battery technology.
Oh, battery technology is going to be big for the next 100 years.
Yeah,
you know, one of the things that they're discovering is that yes, you can power an entire nation with solar and wind, but you have to store half of that power for nighttime and times when the wind's not blowing. And of course, there's a whole group of people who say, well, then it's useless. Have you heard of batteries? If you have a battery, you can store enough excess energy to handle the downtimes.
Batteries predate internal combustion engines.
Yes, they
predate
do.
Gasoline.
Yes, they do. The problem is making them inexpensive enough and yet powerful enough. And so right now it's all lithium ion. Coming up are the things like the solid sodium and things like that. And if they pass the they make more money than they cost, they'll start using those. And particularly with something like the sodium battery, they're so the chemicals are so inexpensive that it's a pretty low entry fee for that.
The first electric car was about 1832.
Yes, it was. Mostly, gas combustion cars started out, we heard all the same complaints that we're hearing about electric cars now. There aren't enough gas stations. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you're not going to be able to find any.
And gasoline was a waste product from the lamp oil production companies.
Right. It's exactly right. It'll never last. It's a terrible idea. Yep. It's wasteful. And it is. You know, a combustion engine is what, 10% efficient? Yeah, it pollutes. And it's only about 10% efficient. You know, 90%, 80 to 90% of the energy in gasoline is dispersed as heat. And so you don't get to use it in the engine.
And we've started seeing that coming a little bit more to the public knowledge with LED light bulbs.
Right.
You used to have a 100-watt light bulb, and it would burn your hand even 10 minutes after you turned it off.
Right.
Now you've got a 5-watt light bulb that you can pick up while it's still lit.
Right.
Because
it has essentially the same amount of energy.
Yeah, the same amount of light coming out of the same significantly less power.
And lasts a heck of a lot longer.
I bought an LED light for the computer room, and it said will last 7 years. So when I installed it, I wrote down the date and time on a little ticket and put it up on my wall, September 16th, 7 years ago, and it's still working. So I expect it to go any day now, but I've gotten over 7 years on that light. And I'm shocked that they were right.
Do you turn it on and off a lot, or do you leave it on?
I turn it on 3, 4, maybe 5 times a day.
Because that's the other thing that LED light bulbs have fixed, is because there isn't that sudden shock of heat, they don't burn out when you turn them on.
Right, right.
Because there's that old story about the light bulb in the San Francisco fire station that's been on for 120 years.
Because it's
only 2 or 3 watts, and they've never turned it off.
And they've never turned it off, so yeah. That works fine.
Yeah, I switch one of my lights outside to an LED, and it seems brighter. It covers a bigger area, and I'm using less power.
Yep.
A lot less power, and like you say, it's covering a wider angle for the backyard.
Yeah, the only problem is on some of our globes are completely enclosed, and they say, don't use an LED light in those. And I don't know why. There's no heat. I don't get it. Anyway, so I can't use them everywhere.
Proton decay.
That might be it. I'm sure that's the reason. Thank you so much. All right, that's it. We are done for another week. I want to thank every single person who called in. More importantly, I want to thank all those of you who were kind and generous enough to contribute to our recent campaign. We did squeak by over the top, and we're delighted and thrilled for each and every one of you. Thank you so much, those of you who contributed. We are honored and pleased. But that's it. We're done. I want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. Like I said, when I get home in a few hours, I will fix the website. And that's it. Be good to one another, will you? We will see you in just 166 hours.